Matai, Dami Noel, J.C. Hartman, Daniel Tracer, Michael Goon, Ari Schwab, Yosef Bronstein, Ellie Rosenberg, I was back there, Ari Michael, okay, also have to get to him, Rafi Mandestram, Ezra Blaustein, okay, Noam Fine, okay, Adam Hertzberg, Daniel Goldmans, okay, right, Gabi Spivak, Ben Kendall, okay, Nachum Rebeck, Ariel Schwartz, David Zirkin, okay, Moshe Marcus, Jonathan Hefter, Donnie Rosenberg, Eli Asabel. Oh, I think I'll actually Eli Asabel. He's not with us, right? He switched. Right. I mean, he told me. Where did he go? Do you remember? Sachs. Sachs. Yeah, he's Daniel Tabak. Yitzi Klein. I don't know why I was doing that. I guess Daniel Tabak. Ellie Steinberger, Ariel Rosenzweig, Avi Strauss, David Shapta. Okay. So, firstly, Josh brought to my attention yesterday that it was an interesting Rambam in Perek Dalet Hufos Niske Mamon. The Rambam talks about the Sugin Akones, that Hotziu list in. That they're chay for niske mamon. So the Rambam has, in the next halacha, the Rambam has an interesting formulation. Right, the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph quotes the Gemara Hotziu listim v'hizika. If the listim steal the animal, the animal goes out in his mazik. Halistim chayav. That's the Mishnah. Then the Rambam says haporetz gedel lefnei behemas chavero v'yatza v'hizika. If the person doesn't steal the animal, but he knocks down the fence, so imaya geder chazak bari chayev. If it's a fence that otherwise would have contained the animal, then he's chayev. Presumably, according to the Rambam, it's chayev for niske mamo. For the animal, goes out, it's chayev for niske mamo. Vima kosel ra'ua patur b'dinei adam chayev b'dinei shomayim. So the Ravid says, Amar Avram zesh amar chayev lo yadanu mahu imala kosel amar. Lamala the member of Yatzah Vizika. If the point is that you have to pay for the wall, then there's no point discussing what the animal does beyond the wall. Bimala Nezek Omar, if the Rama means the Niske Mamon, Enochain, Elam Kain, Hikishu, Vidrichu, Lenezek. Unless he actually was Mechavin him for the Nezek, or he was an actual Gazan, which is the first halacha. Absent any of these possibilities, there should be no chiyuv niske mamon. So Josh wanted to suggest that maybe the Rambam here is l'shitaso, maybe halacha base is also based on gzela, but the Rambam is l'shitaso that when it comes to kinyan, gneva, gzela, the Rambam seems to have limited the requirement. That was the suggestion. But I was looking afterwards, the Magen Mishnah quotes the... there's a tshuva of the Rambam, right? He says, "Veheshiv." The Rambam answered, "Shechilik yesh bein alistim hamiskavim lignov velo lifrotz geder, uben zem miskavim lifrotz geder velo lignov." And that comes from a tshuva. The Migdal Oz quotes the whole tshuva, but it's a tshuva of the Rambam, one of the famous tshuvas for the Chachmei Luniel, where the Rambam says that that's not the proper interpretation. The Rambam's line, just if I can find it quickly, is as follows. The Zeshik Shisem Al Davar Zeh in a list of Shaparts of Mechitza Sadir Abria, Shein Chayam de Zakeh Achiot Siua, Aval Myotzta Miatzma Pturin Vadai Kusha Hizos, the Shemaz Al Sakusha, Shibe Shamafarish at Shahimin Adavar Zeh Bekosal Atzma, the Zel Peruka. Hefresh Godel Yesh Bain Listim Shepirtsu Hadir, to the first case, Halacha Aleph, Ubein Chavero Sheparatz Lefnei Behemto, Shalistim Kavanasam Lignov Habehema, Lefika Kozman Shelohu Tziyuhu Mishus Habailim Lo Niskaibu. Again, it's interesting that his formulation is emphasizing the negative. Kozman Shelohu Tziyuhu Mishus Habailim Lo Niskaibu. V'lo nasis birshusam, u'be'esh yotziu nasis birshusam v'nischayvu v'nizakel. Avlimi nichu sham, hari la asu nezek, sheniskabnu lo, shehi hagneva, v'lefikach p'turin. Avlo poritz gedach aveiro, ein kavanos alignov, v'lo niskabin ele sheteitze v'hema v'tazik. V'nischayvu abaylim v'nizakel. V'lefikach u'chayi ba'osu nezek, kedin kol mazik. V'zeu hefresh ben listim, ובין פורץ והמס קדרו. הרי כל הדברים נכונים, ויוצאים על עיקר הדינים, עד כאן לשונה. So basically, the Rambam does not, it would have been an interesting suggestion, but the Rambam himself, in the letter to Chachmei Lamiel, says these are two different dinim. The chiddush of the Rambam there is that even without being madricho, or mechavno, lehezek, just the fact that you free an animal for the sake of him being mazik, that in itself would be mechayev you b'toras mazik, b'toras the extension of niskei mamon. That's a niskei mamon issue, which I want to get into. But so it turns out that the Rambam Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph is about ganav and gazlan. Perek Dalet Halacha Beis is really a whole different mechayev, a separate issue. Okay, getting back to our topic. So we mentioned yesterday three perspectives on Karen Kane Shaganav. That's what I want to pursue, try to finish that today. Okay. The first one is that this is an unnatural halacha, or a more moderate way to say that would be, at least that you need Gzeiras HaKasuv, in order to establish this halacha. Okay. If it's an unnatural halacha, that's even more powerful, as they say, because then it really means that the conceptual basis for this being an unnatural halacha is chai v'kayim, it's really true. If you just need Gzeiras HaKasuv to preclude our thinking that Gneva works in a certain way, even though it doesn't, that too is significant, because at least this way of thinking is not wrong. And that way of thinking is that Keren normally should not depend on Shasa Gneva, it should depend on some other point in time. What that other point in time would be, presumably, the destruction of the bed. That would be the, doesn't seem like it should be Hamad of the Din. It seems like it should be not Kein Shaganav, but it should be B'shas Hotzom Na'olam, to use a phrase that the Gemara uses in Bav Metzia and Daf Mem Gimel. So, why would that be? Some of the neglected people. Rafi? And why would that be if that were true? That the Shas Chiyuv naturally would not be the Shas? Well, we said yesterday, I just want to get back.
As long as the man is there, you'll be nothing.
Yeah. There's no simultaneous Chiyuv Hashlumin and Chiyuv Be'en. As long as the Chiyuv of Be'en, as long as there is a Be'en, the focus is exclusively on the Be'en. We don't consider the Be'en to include or to incorporate the Chiyuv Tashlumin, nor do we consider it to be a side-by-side obligation. The Chiyuv Tashlumin comes about only once the Be'en is gone. Again, such a language, well, one could have said, you know, in the Rambam, Menuchas Gezeilah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph as well. When the Rambam is explaining, you know, why there's no Malkus, he says, there's no Malkus for Gezeilah, because of Heshev, so Gezeilah, Shagazal, Nidaklase. We discussed this already. And if Nisrach, so then it's because of Tashlumin. Of course, it doesn't become a chiyuv tashlumin until the point of Nisra. Not that it's simultaneous. You don't have to interpret the Rambam that way. The Rambam could just be explaining that, you know, if you have two options to explain why there's no malchus, one is nita klase and the other is nita tashlumin, so maybe nita klase is a more basic reason. So what he's saying is, until you reach the point of Srefa, it's also nita tashlumin, but, you know, b'mokom nita klase, no one's going to tell you that Malkus is potter because of nitan tashlumin. So that's why he formulates it the way that he does. But I'm just saying, one could have read the Rambam at least, that the actual chiyuv tashlumin doesn't really begin until the moment of the destruction of that. If that's what the Rambam really had in mind, though, so then going back to Hilchos Geneva would be pretty interesting. Because in Hilchos Geneva, the lava nita klase, there is a lava nita klase, it's only because of nita tashlumin, and that of course begins while there is a ban. So if what I'm suggesting to the Rambam is correct, then it just might be wrong. It might be the alternative explanation I just gave a second ago is right, which is that the emphasis in the Rambam is just because the Makom Nita Klase, you're not going to speak about Nita Lisha. But if I am right about the way it sounds, so then we would come to a sensational conclusion again, and that is that in this question, Gufa, there might be a difference between Geneva and Gezela. In other words, in Gezela, as long as there is a Be'en, there is no Chiyuv Tashlumin. And in Geneva, Dafka, the Chiyuv Tashlumin, is connected to the Be'en itself. Even the Be'en is connected. Now that's a little contrary to some of the other things that we've been talking about. Kefel is so much focused on the Be'en. I don't think it's a stira, but it definitely is not consistent with it. But we pursue what we hope is, you know, the truth, whether it hurts or not. So we just have to figure it out. But the language of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, and the language of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Gzeila, in light of this issue, is something at least to look at. Yeah.
Why can't it be that since Geneva has the parsha Kefel, therefore...
I mean, that's its be'en part, and the other part is its central. Could be. I'm not right. Or the be'en is so central in you know that you really can't separate them even. You know, maybe I don't know. The truth is that we know. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just saying what we've been saying all along, which is that the gzela is about a mechayev of mamon, and geneva is about the ma'isa aveira, would have taken us in a different direction if we had our choice. And in the language of the Rambam on that particular issue happens to point in a different direction. I don't think it's a stira, as I said before. I just think it's something to know. Okay. But that is, yeah.
In Sefer Mitzvot, Hashanah Tegzela, the Rambam includes Mashma as really part of Hashanah Tegzela, that if it's not there, then you pay the dhamma.
Also
like
in this language.
Part of the essay. It sounds like it's part of the essay.
Well, I mean, is he saying, do you have a language in front of you?
I don't know what he's saying.
Is he saying anything more than the language of the Gemara, which by the way, could be read as the source of this whole idea, which is, in Ke'en She, Ve'eshev Segele She Gazal, in Ke'en She Gazal, Yachsir Vim Lav, Mamon Boi Shlume. So, again, that could be, according to this formulation, which is that the Tashlumen is generated by the the alternative Ashava being, no longer existing. So you could read that into the Gemara. You don't have to. I mean, the Gemara just might be saying, Shinui Kona. That's really what the Gemara is trying to say. Shinui Kona, meaning, sometimes you get back to the Ben and sometimes you don't.
Oh, we had it here.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
The magic of...
The mitzvah of Kutzari Dalid, he should tivar ala hashem et nekzela ba'atzma, and he nisharet ba'atzma,
So that's what you're emphasizing?
It's part, it's really...
Right, I'm not sure if that's any... Is that really more than...
It sounds like from the Rambam, the way we're reading the Rambam in Zela, it sounds like there's an Ethan Asay, and that's Hashem and Zela only if you have the Be'en, and if there's no Be'en, then it's not an Asay, per se. It's just a Chomas Tashlumet, not learned out from Hashem and Zela, which...
Right, now the Diuk that I'm making in Perek Aleph is that it sounds like the Rambam, if you didn't have the Kilchus Geneva, certainly I think you would have read it this way, and that is that, the Ptur Malkus, which comes about at the moment of Sreifa because of Tashlumin. It's not that there are, what bothers me is that the Rambam could have just said, there are two reasons why you'll never get Malkus for Gzela. One reason is Vesh Nita Klase, and the other reason is that, Nita Tashlumin. And there's also an Afkamina, that is, that in some cases, the Nita Klase doesn't apply, but there'll still be the Nita Tashlumin. He doesn't say it that way. He says, if you destroy the chepetz, you still won't get malchus.
And that's what he's saying, Sefer Mitzvah.
What? I'm saying, I don't know if the Sefer Mitzvah is stronger than that. I think it's maybe... The Sefer Mitzvah doesn't sound to me much worse than the language of the Gemara, which is imkein sheyachsir, imkein shegazal yachsir, vimlav. Again, just like in the Gemara, you could have said vimlav means you know, but mitchila, because just say what we're really being told is you're not going to do both. You're not going to pay for the ben and give. You're not going to return the ben and pay for it. So is the Rambam saying much more than that in Sefer Mitzvahs? I'm not sure. To me, the Perek Aleph Hilchos Gzeila is really more far-reaching. But even that doesn't have to be, you know, more than what I said before. If it is, then the Rambam and the Sfeneva and the implications are something to consider. Yeah.
Is it possible that the Gemara Bava Metzia and Moral is like this is an approach that's unnatural, that's an unnatural halacha for Karen to be high from caring from the Shas Ganeva?
Why?
The Gemara seems uncomfortable in the case of Ibar Mimela.
Well, we'll get, you know, hold off just for a minute, because we're going to read Mem Gimel Amar Aleph and Mem Gimel Beis in just a minute, but I mean, the discomfort with Ibar...
Yeah, with Ibar Mimela, like, the only reason why you're high in the Shas Ganeva is because we don't have something else. Like, Tavar Nishaski almost seems like the way it should be, according to the Gemara.
Right, although it's interesting, the Ramban actually in Bamitzia says the opposite. The Ramban in Bamitzia says there never really was a Havamina that Itbar Mimela, and Mem Gimel Amud Beis says this, that there never really was a Havamina that Itbar Mimela would be Mishasa Ones. The only real Havamina that there was that maybe Tavar Mishasya would also be. Only Mishas Gneva.
No, Misvara, I definitely understand. It just seems like the Gemara is...
That's Ramban. They don't have to say that in the Gemara. Right. I understand. But we'll get to it in a few minutes either way, but maybe. So, but basically, what this idea of... I think it's a very important idea. As I say, really, even if we don't accept this for Karen Kane Shagana, it is something that you know, that we find maybe in Lashonus of the Rambam and elsewhere. As I say, the Havamina of the Gemara, according to the Havamina of Tosus's reading of the Gemara, according to the Havamina of Samachem Beis, goes in this direction. And as I say, the Rima Lonil, it's hard to know whether he goes that far with it, but the deal that we made was that he really believes that you need, at least you need the Gzeres HaKasuv, but the Gzeres HaKasuv then is against the character of the Halacha, or it's revealing the character, but otherwise we would have thought it the opposite. That's not clear in the Rima Lonil. But I just think the language of the Rima Lonil is important for two reasons. Number one, unlike Tosis, he thinks that Gzeres HaKasuv teaches us this din. And moreover, the exclusion of Kefel isn't because Kefel is particularly pulled to Hamada Bedin. Right? It's because it's basically an Ein Lecha Bo El Chidusho of Karen Kein Shagana. Karen Kein Shagana would have been a later point, and it's a Chiddush Achil Karen Kein Shagana that we understand that it's going to apply now. So then the question is Kefal included in Geneva as well, or not? You have it, Rafi? You have it in front of you? That's why I thought that the language of Rimi Lonil in both is very interesting from that point of view. Let's read it again. One second. Achil Karen Kein Shagana Mishum Dichsiv Gneva v'chayim miyutarim b'pasuk v'darshin and chayim b'gneva klomer achil karen kein shagana. This is the limud. Then he has abal kefel lo mikri gneva. We'll see the other formulations of the Rishonim, right? The Tosus and the Rosh and others. No, there's a very strong reason for kefel to be b'shas hamada b'din dafka. For him, it's don't push this kein shaganav issue. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, it's not going to apply in the Chavala Chidusho unless something is Achel Legneva LeKaren. Yeah. Kefel and Gneva. I think it does. I mean, for sure. He's also saying that, you know, that Kefel doesn't really flow directly from Gneva. Absolutely. It's a very important formulation for that. And he repeats this later on. Later on, he has two formulations. That's why I told you to look at two, at both of them. And this, I think, is on the Amud Beis. This is on... The first one I read was Samachay Amud Aleph. The other one is Samachay Amud Beis. I don't think you have mine. Anybody have mine? This?
Yeah,
what?
Page 228.
Okay, 228 in my real one. This is not my real one. Okay, my later one. But here he has... Do you have it there?
Yeah.
Aval Bekaren, towards the bottom.
Aval Bekaren is high in the yard. She's the image she's about him. He didn't hit the shark for the high shot.
So the first formulation is that it's a svara, but it's based on the chiyuv. The dinu the dinu de l'shalim kaishaita. But then he says va'od. This is the key.
Va'od exiv gneva v'chaim achil karen aval kefa lo mikriy gneva.
Right. Say it again. So here's the, not only to say it again, but here he says it in contrast to the first pshat. The first pshat was that it's a svara, and now he's saying, no, it's a gzeres hakasuv, and since it's a gzeres hakasuv, and Moshe is absolutely correct, kefal is not naturally included in geneva. I mean, that's what he says twice. Right? Aval kefal lo mikri geneva. And therefore, ein l'chabo el achidusho. If he's saying ein l'chabo el achidusho, that means it's a chiddush. Maybe even a chiddush after the fact, not just a chiddush to be megala milsa that this is the case. So this is a very important idea. On the other hand, Bali Tosis take the view, and the other daya in Rabbi Rimil O'Neil, and that is that there's a natural halacha. Kala gazonim mishalmim kishas agzela sounds that way, especially if you say it's a svara. Again, the Mishnah in Perek Tes doesn't quote any liquidity. And according to Tosis and all over the place, Samachayim and Aleph, and again, Bam Netzia, Daf Mem Gimel, Tosis says the same thing. The Rush, many of the Rishonim, what do you need to exercise a kasa for? It's a Mishnah. What is Rav even teaching us? Rav's teaching us about Kefal and Dalad Bey. We'll get back to Kefal and Dalad Bey. But basically, Karen is based on a Svara then. And what is that Svara? Kola Gazlanim, Mishalmim, Kashas, Agzela. What does it sound like, that Mishnah? Shasachiyuv. The Mechayiv, Shasachiyuv. They coincide, they are one and the same. Okay. If that is the case, and that's what Tosis's maskana is on Samachayim with base as well. But then you have to deal with the question of that Ari's raising also, the Itbar Mimela question. Right, are we uncomfortable with Itbar Mimela? So in other words, what if the price goes up? The price goes down, so we understand. If the price goes up, why couldn't one have said that the Maisa Gzela continues? That would be the only question, according to this perspective. That would be the question. Why not say the Maisa Gzela, right, begins at the time of the Kinyan, but as long as you hold on to the Chayfetz, the Maisa Gzela continues. So, if it turns out that the price went up and it's Itbar Mimela, why not pay the higher price for the later Gzela, Kol HaGazlanim, Mishalmim, Kishasa Gzela, and it's an ever-continuing Gzela. So here, if we take this point of view, we would have to say one of two things. Either the Maisa Gzela is over, it's frozen. The Maisa Gzela is the moment of the Kinyan. Especially if you say Kinyan defines the Maisa Gzela, right? So it's not unreasonable to say that. It's not a continuing action. There's the Maisa, and after that, there's the aftermath of the Gzela, but nothing more. Well, you explain about Tavar V'Shasya, so we'll get to that, but again, we'll have to explain. Either it's a Mechayev of Mazik, or it's a separate act of a Gezela. But until you do that separate action, so the holding on to the Chayfetz, you know, that's Oshek, and it's not really Oshek because it's really already Gezel, or Geneva, and therefore it is nothing. So that would be our explanation. The Maisik Gezela does not continue, and particularly if it focuses on a moment of Kinyan. It's not just that Kinyan is a necessary prerequisite, but the Kinyan is part of the Maisik Zela. Okay, that's one possibility. The other way to say this might be just to say it in more formal terms, and that is maybe the Maisik Zela continues, or Maisik Neva continues, but Eina Gonev Achar Aganav Chayiv. Right, the first, the second halacha, rather, in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Merubah, Agonav min Aganav is Potter. Now, having said that, it's clear that there are some problems with that. Number one, Rafi, is this classic Ein Gonev Achar Aganav? Clearly not, right, on two levels. Number one, what's that? No, we're trying to say in the other direction. Even if, I'm trying to explain, if the point is these, if it isn't the Gzeres HaKasuv, and it's based on the Zman HaMechayev, and Zman HaMechayev, even for Tashlumin, is at the time of the Gezela, so that would explain, good, why if the price fluctuates lower, you're still going to pay the higher price. But it won't explain why, you know, why if the price fluctuates higher, we don't pay the higher price. After all, So the gzela continues. So either you have to say the gzela doesn't really continue. Okay, the maisa is frozen at that point, which I don't think is such a terrible thing to say. Just it's not obvious and it's not mukhrag, so it's something that needs to be said. Or even if technically the gzela does continue, maybe it has to do with chiyuv tashlumin, and that would be based on something like ina gonev achar ganav or ina gozel achar gazlan chayev. Now the truth is that that is how the ksos, I didn't make this up, you know, not that creative, the ksos in Siman Lamed Daled says this. The ksos says the reason that itbar mimela is chayiv only mishum shas gneva is because anything after the moment of the gneva or gazela is in the category of gonev achar ganav. Aye, what about Tavra Vashasya? Okay, so this is the, we're giving away the secrets, but this is the Ksos. Ksos's view is that it's Mazik. It's not Gzela. It couldn't be Gzela, because Eina Gozel, Achar Gazlan, just like Eina Gonev, Achar Ganev, Chayev. This is part of his whole analysis. He says, that's why, Itbar Mimela is not Chayev, because you didn't do anything physical. As for the Gzela, you know, it's, you don't get any chiyuv after the first moment. But that's not a davar pashut at all, because this is quite different than the case of classical gonev achar ganav. In what way, Ezra? I'm trying to do tshuva here for all this. What's that? Number one, he's not a second gazlan. The whole halacha of gonev achar ganav, even if it applies to gozel achar gazlan, is possibly a second person, right? The same person who continues the onslaught, you know, who says that that's under this category? That's a huge chiddush, completely not obvious. Correct? Okay, very good. Secondly, one might have limited, based on what we know already, it's not even clear that it could be that Gonev Achar Ganav is limited in other ways. Number one, it could be limited to Ganav Sheni. That's your first point. Number two, it might be limited to Geneva. Right? Number three, even in Geneva, it might be limited to Kefal. Right? This is what we've seen already. Right? The Rambam talks about it in terms of Kefal. Others assume it does apply to Karen. But the Tosis Rid, that's how he explains the Stira with Rav Chisda. On Kufin Aleph Amid Beis, Ratzon Bizego, Verotz, right? Gozel Amachil, or Gozel the Boacher of the Achlo, Ratzon Bizego, Verotzon Bizego. We discussed this already. So that's Rav Chisda. So how does Rav Chisda square with Eina Gonev Achar Ganav of Mishale? The answer is either it's a din in Kefel, or it's a din. Again, the Ksos's answer again is for Rav Chisda. Oh, that's what he asks. He answers us. Rav Chisda's Mazik. It's a case of Ochlo. The case of Gonev Minagana is a case where the Be'en is still Kai V'Kayim. There's no Mazik. That's the Ksos. But according to the Rambam, it's possible it's only Kefal. According to the Tosas Rid, it's only Gneva, not Gazela. That's again, one of our Chilukim. So that's not going to work here if it's only Kefal. It's probably not going to work here if it's only Gneva, because it seems like the Salacha, for everybody but the Tosas Rid at least, applies Bein B'Gneva, Bein B'Gzela. Yeah.
If we say that it's one long Maisa and that continues as long as you're holding the object, how is this an Achar Madav situation? There's only been one act of Gneva, hasn't there?
No, we're saying the other way. We're saying if you continue to, if it can, is the, we're asking is the act of Gzela frozen at the moment of the, at the first moment? Or is there, as long as you hold on to the object and suppress the, you know, the ownership rights of the true owner, you're being gozel kol rega. That's what we're asking.
Is this the first option or the second option?
I'm sorry?
Is this discussion on the first option or the second option?
I'm not sure what you mean by the first option. What I'm saying is, yeah, oh, exactly. So what I'm saying is, we have to explain why Itbar Mimela, right, is only Chayev, Mishas, Gneva, when the price goes up. That's what we're trying to explain. So I'm suggesting two explanations. One is Gzela is frozen and doesn't continue. Even if Gzela does continue, for other purposes, the Chiyuv Tashlumin is not going to apply because Ein Gozel Achar Hagazla.
But I just don't understand how it's a case of Gozel Achar Hagazla. There's only been one Gzela, hasn't there, in a case where the Maisa...
No, this is to explain if indeed we consider that the Gzela continues as long as you are holding on to the Chayfetz. That the Gzela continues, so there's Gzela 1, Gzela 2, Gzela 3, Gzela 4. As long as you hold on...
It's different.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get to that too. Okay, but we'll get back to that as well. But either way, the point is, it doesn't really matter how you say it so much. The Mechayiv, if it isn't Gzela that's limited to Shah Rishona, or Rega Rishon, at least the Chiyuv Tashlumin is. There may be other issues, another nafkamina, aside from Tashlumin, Kamli B'drama Mine, some other things which we'll get to. I'll go around this real quick. But just quick.
Are we saying that Itbar Mamila is the second Maisa? Is that what we're trying to say? That's the second.
What I'm saying is, if Kol HaGazlanim, Meshalmin, Gashas HaGzela, and the Gzela continues, then why not say that at the moment before the object left the world, and that moment it's worth four, even though the first moment of the Gzela was worth one, why not say Kol HaGazlanim, Meshalmin, Gashas HaGzela, and it's four? I'm not saying Yitbar Mimel is a Maisa. I'm saying that being Maxik the Chayfetz, Kol Rega is a Maisa Gzela. I'm not saying that Yitbar Mimelo is a Maisa Hezek. That's the question, at least that I'm relating.
So it seems like you're redefining when the Maisa is rather than saying
they're
two different.
Right, I'm not saying it's separate, it's on the contrary. I'm saying even if there's only one Shas Chiyuv, and that's Gzela, but if there are many, if the Gzela continues, then the Shas Chiyuv should continue. So either we're saying that it just isn't so, there's one Gzela, which I think works particularly well if the moment of Kinyan is the Maisa Gzela. It doesn't have to be connected to that, but it works well according to that. Or we're saying, like the Ksos said at this point, which is, no, it's a dinin, just like Ein Gonev Achar Ganev Chayiv, even if the Gzela does continue on some technical level, it doesn't make a difference because you only pay for the first moment of Gzela. But the Ksos is assuming several things. He's assuming that Gonev Achar Ganev isn't limited either to Kefel only or to Gneva only. He's also assuming, because even if you were to take those two assumptions, you still might say that it only applies to two Gazlanim or two Ganavim. Right? It doesn't apply to the same Ganav repeating the action. Yeah.
First of all, if you say that the Chayim is the frozen, the approach that we're using to understand that from Ela is that the Chayim is the initial frozen Maisa Bekicha, Maisa Kneva, then you can understand Tavu Shasi, but if you understand that it's a result of the fact that you're Kone, then...
I didn't get to that yet.
You said Kinyan, but...
No, I didn't get to Kinyan yet. I only said that one way to explain why the Maisa Gzela might be frozen is if the Kinyan is part of what defines Maisa Gzela, and that Kinyan took place already.
I'm not suggesting yet...
I'm sorry?
You say Kinyan, Michalos Kinyan, or Maisa
Kinyan? Maisa Kinyan. So far, and my next point will be I'll discuss the Chalos Kinyan in just a second. I haven't discussed it yet. That's the third option. Okay, good. So this approach, I think, will also be very, very helpful if we assume that either there is no serious Chalos Kinyan, or the Chalos Kinyan is very, very limited. Things that we've seen. Again, if the only requirement of Kinyan is for Kefel, or for Gneva as opposed to Gzela, or even if there is a requirement of Kinyan, but it's only to define the Maisa Otsam Rishus HaBailim, and it doesn't really accomplish even much for Chiyuve Onsin, never mind for a positive Kinyan for the Ganav, so then this second approach would be the best of the natural approaches. It would be better to say that the point is Kol HaGazlanim Meshalmin Kashas HaGzela. It's a din in the Maisa and Mechayiv of Gzela and nothing more, because we're deficient, at least in some of the cases we're deficient, when it comes to putting up a serious competing Chalos Kinyan. So this perspective sounds correct in many of the Rishonim, and it would also help for a bunch of Rishonim, including what I, again, the Tosafot and the Avodah Zarah that I mentioned yesterday, Ayin Aleph Amud Beis and Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, both of which seem to downplay the significance of any Chalos Kinyan very significantly. Okay. The third approach, though, is to build up the Chalos Kinyan part. And then we would be saying, not only is Ke'en Shaganav, the Shas Ganeva, significant, because that's when the Maisa takes place, but because after that point, it's the point of no return, because Le'inyan Tashlumin, Le'inyan Shuma, after that point, the change in price happens to the Ganav and not to the Nignav. That assumes that there's a significant role, at least as far as Chiyuv Tashlumin, for Kinyan Gneva, not only as a Maisa, but as a Chalos as well. But as I say, it's very much dependent upon our previous topic, on how you read the Sugin Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes, and how you read the Sugin Bava Kama Daf Samakei, Amud Aleph, with the Gago V'Chatzero, and this Gemara in Ksuvis, Laman Amud Beis, and Laman Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, all those issues. Okay. What is the evidence of it? Evidence that we're already familiar with. Right? Number one, the need for some sort of a kinyan, the Mishnah and Ayin Tes. Number two, the fact that there appear to me no tashlume tashmishim for Goslin. That's the Sugyan Tzadi Zion, right? The Tokaf Svinaso, Pachsa, you will pay, but not Schara. Actually, Rashi in that Gemara quotes the rule of Kol HaGazlonim Misham and Gishas HaGzela. Very fascinating. Right? Why shouldn't you pay Dmei Tashmishim Uskilis? Sounds like, at least on a limited level, you have Kinyan, and if Kol HaGazlonim Misham v'Kishas HaGzela is quoted in that context, it sounds like Kol HaGazlonim Misham v'Kishas HaGzela itself has to do with the Kinyan and not merely with the Mais HaGzela and the fact that there is a Mechayiv. Again, there might be other ways out of this, but at least on the surface, these would seem to be strong indications that there are positive Kinyanim. The same may be true with regard to Shinui Kona. We'll see in a second the Gemara in Tmura, as Rashi understands it. If Shinui Kona could not exist, if not for a foundation of prior Kinyan, Shinui Kona maybe can't come about in a vacuum. Or at least, in the context of Ganef and Goslin, it couldn't accrue to the Ganef and Goslin in a vacuum, if not for the fact that they already had a strong claim to the Chepetz itself. That would be another indication. Niske Mamon, as we discussed, for Tosis, may yet be another indication. The fact that if the Ganef and the Goslin can only be chayv Niske Mamon as a bailim, second day of Tosis, unlike the first day of Tosis that says anybody who usurps and precludes someone else's Shmiras Nezakin, assumes that mantle even without formal Kinyanim. That's the first daya, but if you hold up the second daya, so these are strong indications that there is positive Kinyan, not just Maisa Gzela, and not just Hotsom Rishis Abaylim, not just Kiyuvim, but Kinyanim. If indeed, the things that we discussed at length, Amanas La'abed, Lamekat, Shol Shalomida, if these things interfere with Dine Gneva Ugzela, then it would seem that Kinyan plays a very prominent role. Otherwise, why do we care whether it's Amanas La'abed or it's Shalom Amanas Lekaimo? There might be other explanations, but at least the easiest explanation, and the explanation that appears in at least some of the Rishonim that we already saw, has to do with Kinyanim. So all these are strong indicators of Kinyanim. But of course, this brings us to the point of assessing the competition. If indeed there is some sort of kinyan for the ganav, so what about the competing rival interests of ganav and ignav? Because remember, what we're talking about here is not just, if we're talking about tashmishim, it's one thing. But it's okay, if you're a junior partner, you might have tashmishim rights as well. Right? Even if you shouldn't be here, and if it comes at the expense of the senior partner, but still, you don't get charged, you're a junior partner. Shinikona, all right, at least it's in the, you know, maybe you're a very junior partner, you can't really compete with the Nignav. At the end of the day, because you're not a man from the street, right? So, and the chafetz is in your reshus on some level, you know, when the transformation takes place, so shini kona is yours. Fine. Niske mamon, also. There may be, there's certainly an element of the first day of Tosis, even in the second day of Tosis. But even the second day of Tosis seems to require that there be kinyanim, right? But nonetheless, one would argue that, all right, but the bigger bialim are the real bialim, the nignav, the nigzal. Why should they pay for the niske mamon? That's why I say there's a little bit of the first answer for sure, and the second answer, which is, well, you can't blame them because it's been forcibly taken from their rishus. They may be the bialim, but they're not the achrayim at all. And on the contrary, this junior bialim are responsible for taking the matter out of the jurisdiction of the senior bialim, so they have no one but themselves to blame if, though they are second tier, they're the ones who are going to be paying the price. All that makes perfect sense. All these applications will make perfect sense. But if we're talking about Karen Kane Shaganav, this is a little bit trickier. Because here we're talking about a slightly different question. And here one could have said, at least, that the competition between Nignav and Ganav really comes into play. So it's not enough to say that he has Kinyanim, you have to say he has Kinyanim that can rival the Nignav. Yeah.
You also have the toughest one of all the other Nafkinim is the Tmesferis.
No, I don't think so, but
the Sheva. Why? You mean
I think I just the Tmesferis, the Tashmishim? Yeah, I think I explained it a second ago, which is that even though they're, you know, you're not the senior partner, but your junior partner can use a chafetz too. He can't necessarily keep it, but he can use it. Any junior partner can use a chafetz for free. It's in the books. It's in the rules. You only have to be a junior partner in order to have kinyani tashmish. Somebody's a more senior partner, he doesn't want you to use it. Not everything is about power struggle of, you know, the dominant force. Well, the dominant force doesn't want you to use the object. It's written in the rule book. Tashmishim require a minimum a partnership bylaws. I'm not saying it has to be that way. I'm just saying
it's not easy to the ability to use it, just that the benefits only accrue to you and not to the other guy at all. Once you say that, it's not just that the junior partner has the ability to use it.
Okay, fine. That's part of his usage. That's a function.
The benefits accrue to him. Right. You might as well say, well, if it goes without
there
him.
There are other benefits. We're not saying that the other fellow doesn't have the right to use it, too.
Yeah, he does, but the point is that as long as it's in your if it's in your shoes at that time.
I don't see why the benefits are fringe benefits of the rights. Of course, you have the right to use something. You have the right to its benefits. I don't see that should. The point is, it's not. Everything isn't about, who's in control, who's in exclusive control. That's what I'm suggesting. By being a part owner, you know, you have certain rights, and the consequences that flow from those rights. Yeah. Right, so it does it or doesn't it? That's it, right. That's kind of what I have in mind. It's a very good, I'm glad you brought it in. Right, I mean, this is the issue. There are different sugyas. You know, there's a sugya nadarim, and the sugyas in the other places. In sugya nadarim, it sounds like it's all, you know, connected to Breira. And in other sugyas, it sounds like it's not. The Ran has a huge discussion of that. If you have kinyane tashmishim in something, does that give you rights even without Breira? It's an issue. It's an issue. Absolutely. So this is I'm just pointing out that this is an interesting question because, you know, we have the right to ask ourselves, well, in whose possession did the value to the Yukra Vizula, take place here? And that's why it's not such a dumb question. You might say, well, as far as Tashlumin is concerned, it's a Tashlumin of the Ganav, so it isn't a question of who is the, again, but the approach might be to make this case of Tashlumin comparable to those cases, but for a different reason. Namely, Tashlumin is about his Maisa, his Chiyuv. His junior partnership dictates that issue for him. Maybe. Or not. Maybe you really depend here on who the dominant owner really is, in which case this would be very problematic. The interesting thing is, if you look at different Gemaras, the Gemaras themselves struggle, and sometimes in the same sugya, to figure out, you know, in whose rishus is the chepetz hanignav, even when there is some competition between them. It just highlights the problem. Okay. Where do we have this, Ezra? Where do we have this discussion in the Gemara, for example, formulations about, you know, and whose rishus is it really? What? We'll get to Tzemur in a minute. Yeah, okay, we'll get to Tzemur in a minute. That's a good point. We'll get to Tzemur in a minute. But before we get to that, Bav Metzia, for example. Right. What's the sugya there in Bav Metzia? When the Gemara describes, again, what Josh was reading yesterday through the Rashi, our Rashi in Bava Kamma quotes partly the Gemara in Bav Metzia. The Gemara Bav Metzia, when it talks about Tav Rishaber and Tav Rishasi and Itbar Bimela, is much more explicit than our Gemara. Do you have it? Daniel, do you have it? No? Gemara Bava Metzia? Do you have it? We'll take all the Daniels. Yosef, you have it? Okay, go ahead. Just the Shakam Tari quickly, on Tav Rishasi part first, and then we'll read the rest. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. What? Skip the Mishnah for now. First, let's read Rabbah. Okay, that's what we have in our Gemara too. What we don't have in our Gemara is the expansion of the explanation a little bit. Go ahead. So what does that mean again? Ahi shaita. One more time. Since he has to return it, right? Meaning, this is a way of explaining that it's Bershus of the Nignav. The fact that there is a Chiyuv Hashava indicates that the Nignav is still the Bailim, right? And therefore, there's Gezel. If you look at Rashi here, I think Rashi here in Bava Kamma, when he renders that line, I think this is an interesting one. On Samachay Amar Aleph. It doesn't say anything more? Yeah, one second. Kol Kama de Isa Be'ena Birshusa Demara Kaima Da Boy Lahadura. That's how Rashi renders it. Meaning, the chavis is in the nigna, it's proper rishus. But how about itbar mimela? How does that go? Go ahead. The Gemara. Yeah. Hilkach brishusa demara. Rashi adds hukra. Vayishaita de tav rishasya. That's the quote of the Gemara. Udika gazale. Okay. How does the Gemara say itbar mimela? Yeah, but the question is, if indeed the object was in the rishus of the bailim, right? So why not pay the higher price? That's what we were asking before. So it's very meduyak in the language of the Gemara. The problem isn't that the yoker was not rishus a bailim. The problem is that you're not chayiv for anything other than the first moment. Can I go one more time, just to read it. Ahishaita. So it sounds like in the, like the like from the language of the Gemara that in terms of bailus, everything is the nignav. The only question is zman or mechayev. Since there's no mechayev nitbar mimela, therefore you're chayev only for the zman arishon, right? But in Tarav Shasya, there's another critical moment. There's another zman achiyuv. And therefore, the fact that it's Birshus HaNignav matters. Others point out, this is what we're talking about before, that there's another way to look at Itbar Mimela. And that is, Itbar Mimela is because the Yoker and the Zol take place in the Rishus of the Ganav, not the Nignav. Okay.
And how do you say Tav Rishasya?
So then you'd have to explain Tav Rishasya in terms of Mazik.
That even helped if it's his. So
well, it's not his completely because it's still a chiyuv hashava.
And so, when you say that, why not you say that?
Well, that's two different issues. One is geza from a gneiv and gezela point of view, and the other is in terms of mazik. Titularly, it's still no one's going to deny that he has some. As we'll see in a second, we'll just highlight in a second. These two perspectives, which again, only if you see it par mimela in this way, if you see. It brought me mail only in terms of the simple reading of the Gemara. So basically we're saying everything is Birshus HaNignav. But these two perspectives, again, are highlighted in Rabbi Yochanan, as we pointed out. Rabbi Yochanan's explanation for the Guna Mibes Yishron Beis HaGanav, or Gezev Lo Nesiyasho Bailim Zev Zein Yochal Akdisho Zel Efishen El Shalo Zel Efishen El Birshuso. Right? Is again highlights Zelfishen Shalo, implying that the Ganav has at best a junior Kenyan partner if he has any Kenyanim at all. He can't be Makdish the Kefetz. Zelfish Eino Birshuso, we can discuss that at length, but it depends how you understand it. Eino Birshuso means also restriction in Bailus, or Eino Birshuso is only din in the Maisa Gneva. And that Maisa Gneva reflects as a precon or Rishus is also a precondition for Kinyanim. Well, we'll get to Rabbi Yochanan. But certainly the fact that we call one Eino Birshuso, the other, I mentioned this yesterday, one Eino Birshuso and the other Eino Shalo, sounds like the Yado HaElyonah and Kinyanim belongs to the Nignav, not to the Ganav, or to the Nigzal, not to the Gazal. By the same token, language of the Gemara on Kufid Aleph from the base, Rav Chizda's context also points in that direction. Rav Chizda's halacha, ratzim izegove, ratzim izegove. Right? So the Gemara also explains, it's important to put these things together, it gives you a better perspective on what the issues are. Right? Amar Rav Chizda, gezev lo nesiyasho bailim, uboach ebiachlo, mimenu. Ratzam izegov, ratzam izegov. My taima, kol kama de lo nesiyashu abaylim, birshusei de mare, kai. Right? Before Yish, it's in the, here it even says, birshusei de mare, kai. Not just bebaluso. I mean, he'll agree that ene yochel agdisho because ene birshuso. So it is birshuso, it's not birshuso. That's the tension here. But at least Le'inyan Davar Zeh, Le'inyan that is considered, according to the Ksos, Mazik, according to most Mefarshim, Gezel, it's considered to be in the Rishus of the Nignav. Here the issue isn't the relationship between the Ganav and the Nignav in the Sugya, it's a question of the Gazlan Sheni and the Nignav. Okay. But either way, that's an important line, that's an important formulation in the Gemara. Another way to look at all of this, again, in the language in Akones, Hotziyu Abailim, how does the language go? Hotziyu Alistim, also an important lashon for this, just to complete the picture. Q Kivin dafkua, kaimela birshusei lechol mili. Again, machlokas are showing what it means, but kivin dafkua, kaimela birshusei lechol mili sounds an awful lot like the chepetz is in the rishus of the Goslin. But again, there it's not, just as I kufiyad aleph on the base in Bava Kamma is not a competition directly between the nignav and the ganav, so too in Akones, we're not in other words, they were talking about the power of the nignav, but not necessarily vis-a-vis the ganav. In Nun Vav Medeis, we're talking about the power of the ganav, but really not vis-a-vis the nignav, vis-a-vis kalada. That might explain why each of these formulations is a little stronger than it would seem to need to be, because again, Zelafishenu Shalo, Zelafishenu Birshuso. So, how can you say in Kufir Aleph on the base that it's Birshus Habaylim? The answer is vis-a-vis some other party. Okay. And the same thing in Nunvam the base, it's Birshus Ha. Not only is it Bebaluso, but it's really Birshuso. Yeah, vis-a-vis the rest of the world. The junior partner in this case is going to be Chai for Niske Momo because no one else can be. Point is, though, that there are a number of Gemaras that are very suggestive in terms of their Lashonos. They need to be sorted out in this competition, whether we're directly competing or indirectly competing. Whose Chepetz is this Chepetz, and whose Rishus is this Chepetz? Okay. But the truth is that the Lashonos of the Gemara and Gimel Amud Beis are relevant to this as well. Rafi, do you have it? Noam? Noam? Do you have the Gemara Bava Metzia? Ben? You have it? Now just read very quickly, if you don't mind, the Mishnah and the Shaka Vataria. Starting from Mem Gimel, just the Mishnah for a second. Beishama Beisilel. Yilka v'chaser v'yaser. But a little louder so people can hear. Whoever doesn't have. Yeah, I know. Okay. So that's pretty, as Mishnayos go, that's a pretty ambiguous one, pretty tough to crack. If you just had the Mishnah alone, it's hard to know what's going on there. That's what the Gemara asks. Right, go ahead. Look at that part you can skip because that we just read. So the Rabbah introduces Tabra of Vishasya. Okay, go ahead. Now the Gemara says, what's Shitas Beis Hillel? An interesting little Shaka Vataria. What is Shitas Beis Hillel? Now, first of all, we should already, raise a question here. Namely, Ben, what question? And Bechaser, meaning it went down in price, and you're considering the possibility that you don't pay the higher price but the lower price. How could that be?
So we would assume it's possible that
they
still be arguing that.
Well, they would argue on the Klal, it's a Mishnah, and it's another Mishnah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So wouldn't it be possible that they still argue on that Klal, also on that Mishnah?
That's always a possibility, but I guess, since it's a Stam Mishnah and we're not looking for trouble, so I don't know if that's such a. I mean, the Gemara assumes not. So that doesn't. But I think there is another point here. There's another assumption that may be more easily challenged. Avi, what assumption in the Gemara? We're talking about Shlichus Yad, and not classical Gzela. So just because Kol HaGazlonim Mishalmim Kishasa Gzela, is it so obvious that is true with regard to Shlichus Yad? Well, I mean, especially in light of our previous discussion, this is a question to raise. Why? So if Kol HaGazlonim Mishal, if this rule of Karen Kain Shaganav or Kol HaGazlonim Mishal Mekashasa Gzela, if it's a Gzeres HaKasu, for example, achila keren, kein shaganav, and it's against the grain, right? So in the chavola chidusho, so just because it applies to a classical gazlan, is it so obvious that it applies to shlichus yad? I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking aloud. If it has to do with the maisa gzela and the shas chiyuv, then I think it's more reasonable to assume automatically, reflexively, that this principle applies. And according to our third perspective, the kol hagazlanim v'shalmu k'shas gzela has to do with kinyanim, because in some level the chepetz is in his rishus as well, maybe more dominantly. That's what we're trying to figure out now. More dominantly, equally, less so, but it's still enough for this halacha. Since he's a junior partner, the junior partner rule, you know, to his benefit also works here, since he's the one who will have to pay, just like he has tashmish. That's what's going on. So we have to ask ourselves, is shlichus yad equal to a regular ganav and gazlan and its kinyanim? That sounds like a familiar issue. Is it a familiar answer? Nasan? Nasan, right? Nasan. Wait a minute. It's showing off. Yeah, go ahead. It's just bluster and bravado. Don't pay any attention to it. Nasan, go ahead. What? Is that familiar to you? You know, actually, it may not be a fair question to ask it. When did you start? When did you come in? Were you here when we did the Sugis of Kofar Pikadon and Shlichus Yad? Oh, okay. It isn't fair to ask you, actually. I didn't do it on purpose. Ezra.
It's not fair to ask you.
No, this one apparently, I'm asking you a question of something you weren't here. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that you're looking out for me. Okay. I'll get you on something that's fair. So. Now catch it, give you the opportunity to you know. Adani.
Yes, I think that it has to be the truth. It does have Shomer as actual kinyanim in general, that in terms of Deva, in terms of general, actually more of a
tzaddik. Well, and specifically Shlichus Yad.
Let's discuss whether in terms of Shomer, either Shlichus Yad that typically is in the context of Shmirah.
Is Shlichus Yad maybe a gzela for a Shomer? Right? And that doesn't necessarily mean it follows the regular rules of Geneva and Gezela. And particularly that may be true with regard to a number of things, but especially with regard to Kinyanim. Who specifically raises the question of Kinyanim? Well, it gets raised in a few points in the sugya that we did. Michael? There's more than one answer here. Michael? It could depend on the Rambam and the Ravid. Which one?
The focus as to whether it's the Shmuel and the Kotri, or whether it's the comparison between Shmuel and Chitzad's teaching this Kenya in both places that's being
said. Yeah, and there's those Rambams and Ravid and Perek Dalet Hilchos, Perek Dalet Halacha Gimel, let's say, and Hilchos Gneva, where the Rambam says, V'yab Shlichus Yad, that precludes Kohen Tanis Ganav, right? And the Ravid says, no, it doesn't. You can have Shlichus Yad and still have Tohen Tanis Ganav. So one of the issues may be according to the Ravid, it's not so clear that you do have. The Rambam seems to say there are Kinyanim. The Rambam also in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Gzela, Halacha, Yudal, this is just review, seems to say that the Torah created Kinyanim for Shlichus Yad. Even the fact that he says it that way shows that it's not so obvious. Right? That's the Chiddush HaTorah, that Shlichus Yad is a Gzela, even Linyan Mechefza and the Kinyan. We said that's Lashitaso. Gimel Yud Aleph works nicely in Dalid. Gimel Yud Aleph of Gzela works nicely with Dalid, Dalid base of Geneva, right? And the Ravid may be arguing on other points, but he may be arguing precisely in that point. We also had the Rashi, right? Rashi on Kuf Zayin Umadeis, who said, yeah, Shlichus Yad has Kinyanim, that's the problem. And Rabbi Kinegar, in the Tshuva, explicitly challenged it. Remember, Rabbi Kinegar said, maybe Shlichus Yad is Chayiv Ba'onsim, who says he has real Kinyanim? Right? So it's just very interesting that the Gemara assumed that Kol HaGazonim L'Shal M'Shas L'Gzela applies to Shlichus Yad. But it'll get even more interesting in a second. Yeah. Yeah, shaman ain't shaman. Well, in Gaza and in general, why Shlichus Yad in particular? Oh, I mean, if in general you're asking whether ain't shaman should apply? Well, that did apply to Shol Shomi. That's a good question. We'll get to that. If there are kinyanim. If it's based on kinyanim. That's true. Good point. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll mention that when we talk about Tosas on Yud Aleph soon, but very good point. Okay. So this is not so obvious, either if you hold the first pshat or you hold the third. The first, because we just don't know where the Ein L'B'chol Ba'al Chidusho ends. Is there any shame? One of the things we're asking is, does Shaliach Yad has a shame Ganav or Gazlan, or does Dine Ganav for Gazlan? Right? What exactly is he? Okay, we can say the same thing about Shol Shalomidas and Kofar B'Pikadon. Just that this Gemara is going to speak specifically about Shlichus Yad and Shol Shalomidas, making it interesting. Okay. So, first pshat is a question. Third pshat is definitely a question in light of the Ravid, possibly, right? In light of the Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, possibly. Go ahead. Atan Kol HaGazlanim, Mishalmi. Maybe we should say Kol HaGazlanim, meaning all types of Gazlanim, not just all Gazlanim. Okay. Mishalmi Kishas HaGzela. The E. Yeah. What does that mean?
When Beisola say that you take it, so it's talking about the time when you take it from Beisola, not the time.
Oh, so it means Shas HaGneva, Shas HaShlichus Yad. Okay, go ahead.
Lingua Rabba Damakadesham.
Meaning?
Say Rabba, he says that you take Shas HaGneva.
Sounds like this is denying Tav Rishasya. That can't be. Can't be that Rabba is a Libet Beis Shama. But you see from here that somebody could be denying Tav Rishasya. Right? Possibly. Okay, go ahead. Amalek Rabba.
The Yeser could never look legal. But the Yeser is when it increases in value, then everyone argues that they teach us Tav Rishasya. It's legal to pass it.
So what again? What is the case again? It's a case of... So Shas Shlichus Yad was a higher value, right? And then it went down. So this is going to be like a... What? Go ahead. So what are we challenging here then? The question of Kol HaGazonim L'Shal M'Shas HaGzela. So the Gemara doesn't want to say that. So the Gemara is going to say, go ahead, Beishame Savar. Right, but they still sabri? Go ahead. So this is very fascinating. Now the Gemara is going to reject it in a second, but what's fascinating here is not the answer of the Gemara, but the formulation of the Gemara. Right? For the first time, the Gemara formulates Karen Kain Shaganav in terms of Kinyanim. Now you could say the Gemara doesn't mean it literally, but this came derech agav. The Gemara is really trying to figure out whether Shlichus Yad Tzrichisar and Ein Tzrichisar, which is another way of saying, is this Gezel or isn't it Gezel? If it's Gezel, though, then what do we say? Karen Kain Shaganav, or Karen Kain Shagav, Kol HaGazonim L'Shal M'Shas HaGzela. The question is it Gezel? But how does the Gemara formulate that? How does the Gemara say Kol HaGazonim? The Gemara just sort of said, the Gemara could have said, if Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron, right, then the Kol HaGazonim L'Shal M'Shas HaGzela is B'Shas Hotzah Min HaOlam. If Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron, then the kol hagazana misham lukshas hagzela is the shas shlichus yad harishona. But has the Gemara just all of a sudden they slipped it in? The chichaser birshusa didei chaser. This is a formulation of kinyanim. What's particularly fascinating about it is, of all things, the Gemara formulates this. I don't know, it's an irony, I guess. The Gemara formulates it this way, at this point, regarding Shlichus Yad. And even more, keep another line, if you don't mind, another couple lines.
Lema Rava.
Yeah, so again, it doesn't work out. So this is unacceptable. Go ahead. Oh, same idea. Then the Gemara rejects it again. One more line. Go ahead. Just to finish up. Oh, okay. Then the rest of the Shakavatar, the Gemara says it depends on Shevach and so on. But this is just a fascinating formulation of the Gemara. The Gemara says the Machlokas may depend on Shol Shalom Midas Gazlan or not. And if it's Shol Shalom Midas Gazlan, so then the Yukra of Izula took place in the Rishus of the Gazlan. And if it's Shol Shalom Midas Lo Hava Gazlan, so then, of course, it, the Yukra of Izula took place in the Rishus of the Nigzal. So, Dafka, Shlichus Yad, and Shol Shalom Midas, two cases which we, you know, demonstrated and documented, both for objective reasons and actually in terms of concrete shittos, which is always better, right? Shlichus Yad, we have Rabbi Kiveger. Shlichus Yad, we may have the Ravid. Shol Shalom Midas, we have the Ravid on Tzadi Zion. We have Reb Chaim, both of whom said Shol Shalom Midas doesn't have Kinyanei Gzela, only Chiyuvei Gzela. And Dafka, in the context of Shol, again, 2 days in the Ravid, not in Devar Pasha. But according to those who shown them, it's very hard to read this Gemara. You have to say this Gemara this doesn't mean fully what it says. Or it means it with regard to another aspect of Kinyan. Sort of one of the things I want to say, namely, tashlumin, not with regard to shinui, maybe not with regard to certain other things. There's this question of kinyanim and dominant kinyanim, not such a simple matter. It's a little more complex. But either way, the language of the Gemara, both for Shol Shalom Midas and for Shlichus Yad, points in the direction of why that we understand very well. Itbar mimela. If it's chaser or yeser bershus habaylim, bershus hagana, or a sholeach yad, or a shol shalom midas, or a gazlan, we understand it very well. Yeah.
What's the difference between the fact that before we had yud hashavu, here where we have the buildings?
What do you mean before? Oh, well, you mean on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
In Ochanami. In Ochanami. That just proves that what I was saying before, which is that there is a dialectic here. I mean, we're not excluding the Nignav, he still is the owner, and yet we're saying that when it comes to, and therefore when it comes to Tavra of Vishasya, you know, his ownership is Koveya. When it comes to the ability to have either mazik, according to the Ksos, or again, we'll meet the Tavra Shasi, we'll go into much more detail, but let's say mazik according to the Ksos, Zela according to Zela Shnia, right? According to many other Rishonim, as far as that is concerned, what's important is that it remains also, primarily or also, I don't know which. Bershus hanigna v'hanigzal. It's the fact that it's not fully mine, or maybe not even predominantly mine, is enough to make me either a mazik or a second gosling. But the fact that it is partially mine is enough to establish that le'inyan mai chiyuv tashlumin, the benefits or the drop in price accrue to me. That's exactly what I'm talking about, a more complex approach. It's not only the nignav, and it's not only the ganav. That's clear. That's clear from Rabbi Yochanan, that's clear from the contrast between Tavar v'Shasya and Karen Kain Shagana. Exactly. And especially in light of the formulation of the Gemara Mem Gimel Amid Beis and Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. But at Misvara, it makes perfect sense to me. I might not have predicted it, but in reconstructing it. Namely, if we're talking about, am I doing more damage to him? Well, he's still a him, an important him, maybe even the most important him. He's the Bailim. He's the main Bailim. He's a partial Bailim, whatever it is. I can still do more damage to him. He's still a factor. That's Tavar v'Shasya. Especially if it's on a mazik level only, totally makes sense. Right? I'm still destroying the object, which he still owns part of, maybe even most of. Even if it's a second gzela. But that doesn't mean that when we're trying to figure out my relationship with him, not to let me steal more from him, but, you know, how much am I going to have to pay? My junior partner rights give me certain, in some cases, they give me even benefits over him because it's my pocketbook and my payment, and therefore it's my bailus that counts for this issue. It's a much more complicated issue in Ochanami. I'm glad you raised it again. It's putting into focus exactly what we're trying to deal with, as will the sugya in Sanhedrin that we're about to look at in a second. Yeah.
The continuation of the Gemara emergency is also important, because heretofore the Gemara has assumed that if he's a Gazlan, then he's going to be considered Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says that maybe the focus is in regard to the question of Sheva Gzela, which should be understood as a question of the extent to which that is actually true. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that the question is he a Gazlan? Then the Gemara says maybe the question isn't whether or not he's a Gazlan, but rather, for example, Gazlan have Kinyan.
Right. I'm holding off on that only because we're going to get back to it when we talk about Tosis and Hagozel and the Rosh in Hagozel, namely what really does happen between the time of Karen Kane Shaganov, between the time you steal the object and the time that the object is destroyed. Let's say the object is Mishtabeach. Who gets the Shevach? That's a discussion in the Rishonim. I think it's directly related also to how you understand the continuation here in Bava Metzia. Partially, that's also an issue of competing claims of Ganav and Nignav. What we're trying to show here is it's no longer so simple. He always wins, he always loses. It depends, le'inyan ma. That's why we're showing the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan, Tavar v'Shasya, Itbar Mimela, these sugas of Karen Kane Shaganov. Exactly. Okay. So let's turn our attention. I think we're going to have to stop. And so these lines of the Gemara are particularly fascinating, especially if you hold that what will the Rishonim hold Shol Shlomi Das and Shlichus Yad do not have Kinyan. What do they do with these lines in the Gemara? Either they'll say they're Lav Dafka, they only mean Chiyuv, or they will say L'inyan Davar Zeh, even Shol Shlomi Das and Shlichus Yad are partial kinyan. I think these are important. That's important. That's important as well. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to stop here. But what we have to do left, and we want to finish it off on Thursday, is Temura Vav Amid Aleph, which is directly connected to all of this, of course. Sanhedrin Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, Rav and Rava, and the Balamor and Ramban at least will maybe leave the Ramah and the Ravid for a larger discussion of Tavar v'Shasya, but definitely Rav and Rava. Also connected with that is Ramban and Bamitziah Mem Gimel. All the makoros that I gave, I'm not at anything at the moment. And then the Tosas Rid. So let's try to finish all of that on Thursday. Then hopefully on Sunday we can talk about Kefal Dalet V'Hei. And then we finish Kefal Dalet V'Hei, we'll go back to the conclusion of Tavar v'Shasya.
You also say this doesn't exist.